Welcome to the Sustain Nutrition Podcast, Chewing the Fat. Join your hosts, Joe and James, as they share everything they know about mindset, training, nutrition, and self-development, helping you improve with every episode. Now, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
You almost forgot what you do there, didn't you?
No, chewing. I had to click OK on the record.
Chewing.
The
fat.
Podcast.
We should really redo that, but we won't because it's already taken us 3 months to put out another episode, so best just get cracking. Joe, what are we talking about? I know we've not given this a title, have we?
New Year's resolutions.
Quarterly review.
Whatever.
I don't know. So... yeah, that might sound a bit alien to some people, probably not people who are working in businesses, but it's the end of the first quarter, 2024, as in basically you divide the month, Christ. Can't say that either, it's Easter. Divide the year into quarters, and that's when you set your quarterly goals and then you review them. So we've just had our kind of business quarterly review with Anita and Amy, and we thought we would get you guys to reflect on, has 2024 gone as you wanted it to so far? And if not, why not? And can we help?
I think often with resolutions as well, people set them in January and then there's no reflection. They're just, well, they set them in December and then they're finished by January and then that's it. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. Same with business too, isn't it? It's why we do a quarterly meeting, is to have numbers, to be accountable to it, to see whether it's working, it's not working, whether you've set the wrong numbers and all those different pieces. And it's very difficult because you have to, and the thing that people don't like is facing up to when it doesn't work. You know, one of the quarterly goals that I set, the main one, I stopped doing after like 4 or 5 weeks. And so it's embarrassing to have to say, that thing I said I was going to do, yeah, I haven't done it. And I think that's one of the biggest obstacles that people have when it comes to this sort of thing, is the vulnerability and the shame, and they build these things up to be much bigger than they are. And actually, it's often not the case. You know, I said I was going to make some YouTube content. I changed my mind halfway through. It wasn't the best use of my time content-wise, and nothing bad has happened from that. The person who's most impacted by that is me, because I feel embarrassed by it. But if it means that then the next quarter I'm able to be more effective with my time and to set better targets, then it's a step forwards. It just depends on how you, and you need that reflection. You need that. You don't need the embarrassments, because you don't have to be embarrassed by it, but you do need to reflect. You do need to look at what's happened so you can then adjust if that's necessary. Or if it's going really well, then you need that reinforcement. Again, you don't need it, but that reinforcement can be really useful for people to dial them in and say, yeah, this is working. I need to keep going. And that's something you see often in fat loss. People saying, well, I've only lost this much weight. Okay, and then how long is it going to take you to get to your goal if you keep doing that? Well, it'll take me 30 weeks. Okay, and how long have you been overweight for? 6 years. Well, that doesn't seem like such a bad return all of a sudden. But people have all of these preconceived ideas about how things should be going and how they should be. And that's what gets in the way so often when it comes to resolutions and particularly fat loss.
I think, yeah, short, small caveat. Well, somewhere at the start, you've done a monologue already. It's been a while. No, it's just that, you know, we're saying this and everything we do is to try and help people. Now, whether they're working within one of our coaching programs, whether you listen to podcasts, you know, we put out like 50 odd guides or training resources for free every single year. I figured out, you know, like pretty much like we do a two-step every single year. Would you like this guide? I've created this. Would you like this? Would you like this train on this? You know, we're just here to help people, coaches. That's what we do. We're not here to judge people. And what I see a lot of is when we're speaking to people, people will say, right, this year I'm going to lose 2 stone. And you check in with them and it's just tumbleweeds. Like, I don't want to admit, you know, like you said with your kind of YouTube content, I don't want to admit that I've not done the work. And they'll end up writing off the entire year. When it is about reviewing and maybe adjusting, like adjust that goal, adjust what you want to do. So even with the YouTube stuff for you, like maybe if you'd gone, if you still wanted to do it, you'd be like, I'm going to do one YouTube video a week. And then we try that. And then maybe it doesn't happen. You go, right, I'm going to do one a month because I really want to do these YouTube content. Again, it's just being more realistic. But you only get that from reflecting. In my experience, people set these lofty goals, and then as soon as they don't achieve them, right, well, I'm done. And maybe next year I'll try again. Like, well, what would to stop you from going, okay, that was too much. Let me adjust what I was trying to do, and I'll set another goal. So everything we say, and hopefully this comes across in the 177 podcasts that we've done and all the other content, all the social media stuff, is we're just here to help people. You know, you could have just set really unrealistic goals that didn't serve you and weren't possible. And what would have happened if you'd have set more realistic goals? Then maybe you'd be over the moon because you'd achieved them. So I think that's the first bit. I wanted to do a bit of a refresher on like some of this stuff, because we did, obviously, we did a how to set New Year's resolutions that don't suck podcast back in January, which hopefully people listen to, but maybe if they listen to this one, they didn't, and that's why they didn't set great goals. 68% of UK adults plan on making New Year's resolutions. So you've got 68% of people who make resolutions. 8.5% of people making resolutions think that they're going to give it up immediately, which is a bit bizarre. Like, why bother setting it? On average, most people expect the New Year's resolutions that they set to last for 13 weeks or 3 months. Half think they'll give up within the first 3 months. Again, it's all very strange. Like, we're setting these resolutions that we already think we're going to give up, then why do it? That just seems like you're setting yourself up for failure. And only 9% of people successfully keep up their New Year's resolutions. So it's pretty slim pickings from 68% of the population setting them to only 9% of those people actually making them. And for me personally, yeah, I think there's a couple of things going on. One, people setting very, very unrealistic expectations or resolutions, again, from the stats that they already think they're going to give up. Two, there's no reflection. It's just like, I didn't do it, I quit. There's no looking at, okay, why didn't I do it? Was it realistic? Is there a better way of doing this? Where do I need help? And I forgot what the third one was. But I'll let you
Don't
jump in.
worry
You'll come back
about
to
it. No, we'll wait while you
me.
figure
Tick tock, tick tock.
I think the stark thing there, and I was thinking, obviously, while you were talking, I was thinking about myself and the resolutions that I set, and I'm pretty sure I set running as one of mine. And I imagine the other one would have been business related because there's nothing else in my life. So it was those two things. And the bit that really stands out to me is the number of people that like give up straight away or they expect it to only last 13 weeks. Like people's, you can feel people's low self-worth with things like that, about like it's not necessarily an unrealistic goal full stop, but it's an unrealistic goal for them because of that low self-worth, because of the difficulty those people have. And they're just, it's not unrealistic for somebody to lose 2 stone a year because it's half a pound a week. The problems that 2 stone, it's the year bit that's hard. It's people's consistency, and that often comes down to their lack of self-belief, that lack of kind of understanding of themselves and what's holding them back. And it's that when you have these, and it's been something that I've been working on recently, when you have these core beliefs about yourself, that kind of emanates out into the world. And so it's, we always talk about implementation, not information. People often, especially at the start of their journey, think, oh, I need certain meal plans or I need this workout plan. And actually, the problem is that you don't think you can do it. You don't trust yourself. You don't believe in yourself. And I'm not suggesting that self-belief is the solution either, but what I'm saying is there's lots of different things here that you need to work on. And you need to, and in order to do that, you have to reflect. Because if you set a goal at the start of the year and the next year, you're like, right, I'm going to do this again, I'm just going to try harder. Then you've had a year where you could have reflected, and having those quarterly check-ins are really useful because it gives you enough time to have a good start, like I did with the YouTube stuff. And then it gives you, it's a really good length of time because typically people will start to struggle at that point. And if things are going well, then you need to recognize that's pretty rare and that things are going nicely for you. And if they're not, then it's a chance to adjust. And it's, I think, one of the mistakes people make is, I'm going to lose 2 stone this year. They get 3 months in, they've not lost anything. Right, I'm really going to have to turn the screw to lose 2 stone now. No, just adjust it. Drop it by a quarter. Move it down to a stone and a half or a stone. If you've not lost anything in the first 3 months, anything's going to be good over the next nine. And I think that there's then often there's lots of, which, well, that's not good enough. I should be doing better. And then the self-worth kind of rears its head again. And it's learning to be more astute about these things and seeing it. And that can be very difficult because people get so lost in what they should be doing or how things should be going or what a good resolution is. And actually, it's not taking into reality who you are.
I think another struggle I see is people set these goals but don't have a way of achieving them. As such, don't have a pathway. Like, I'm going to lose 2 stone. Okay, what are you going to do? I'm going to eat clean. Okay, and then what? There's no clear pathway to this. I want to get fitter. I want to get healthier. They're always like kind of key goals out there. Okay, like how? What does that look like? And that way of gaining that kind of self-confidence sometimes is just by gaining momentum. Getting smaller goals, instead of doing that, like, oh, I'm going to get fitter. We spoke about this in the other one, I remember, because a lot of the top resolutions were all outcome based. And then when you went further down the list, there were the actual processes. It was like get fit and increase fitness and health, but then, reducing alcohol, eating better, eating healthier, and stopping smoking were like further down the list. Like, focus on those things. So if you want to get fitter, okay, then what's the process to that? Is that going to the gym twice a week, or is that going to a running club twice a week, or is that, doing a certain amount of mileage on your bike per week? Make that the goal because you've got more opportunities to be happy. I talk about this when I talk about process goals. It's like you said, if that 2 stone is your goal, right? I want to lose 2 stone this year. Now, obviously, people won't set it in a year, but like, I want to lose 2 stone in 3 months, or within 6 months, or whatever. You've got that one opportunity to be happy. When I lose 2 stone, that's it. And I'm sure there'll be like little flickers of happiness. Like, I've lost another pound, lost 2 pounds. Okay, I'm out of stone. But when you make that process the part of it, like, right, so I'm going to stick to my nutrition plan. I'm going to decrease my alcohol. I'm going to, decrease the amount of high calorie food that I eat. I'm going to only stick to one takeaway a month, or, I'm going to hit the gym 3 days a week, whatever. You've got all these opportunities to be happy. All these opportunities to gain confidence and gain momentum because you're ticking off that to-do list. Did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And then it makes those bad weeks just smart a little bit less, I find with clients is look at all the proof, all the evidence that you've gathered that you can do this. And there's this tiny little, because you will mess up. You will have a bad day, a bad week, a bad meal. You will have a bad weekend. But you've got all this evidence to back up, okay, but I can do this. I have been doing this. And it's just so powerful. Again, I'm a big fan of gaining momentum, of just getting those little wins. Cool, you want to lose 2 stone? Let's start off with 5 pounds. Let's start off with 7 pounds. Let's get to that first stone. And like you said, constantly reviewing, okay, is this right? Is this wrong? I'll hand over in a second, Joe. But, one of those things is that expectations, people just bite off more than they can chew. And I go back to, one of my clients who set a very lofty goal of losing 4 stone. She wanted to lose 4 stone. She lost 3.5. She was really pissed off. She was really frustrated that she hadn't lost the 4 stone target. It's like, but can you not see if you'd have set the goal of I want to lose 3 stone, you would have been over the moon because you would have surpassed it. It's exactly the same result. It's just you have a different expectation, and that's what's driving your happiness. So sometimes, just from my experiences, people just bite off more than they can chew. As if you started smaller, as going back to your YouTube, I'm going to do one a week or one a month. Cool. I've absolutely surpassed that. Cool. Now I can turn up the heat a little bit. But like you said perfectly, must be why we work together. Right at the start is that reflection piece is key, and it's just nearly always missing on people. Like, no, I'm just going to try the same thing again. No, didn't work. I'm going to try the same thing again. Like, no. Look at it. What went wrong? What can you do to try and fix that? What can you do to plug that gap?
I want to rewind a little bit because you touched on something, or I think you were quite close to it about the person that you want to be to get there. And I think that very often, I'm going to just rip Jay Shetty's story because it's really good. And you might notice that this podcast is very similar to one of Jay Shetty's. Somehow he stole this idea from us and released it earlier. I don't know how he managed
I've not even listened
that.
to it, so I'm completely in the dark.
And he was saying that when he went to when he first went to the monastery, because he was a monk for a period of time. He was walking around, and the guy who was showing him around was pointing out different people. And he said, "Oh, that gentleman over there can meditate for 8 hours." And he's like, "I'd love to be able to do that." And the guy kind of spun around, and he said, "Why?" He said, "Is it because you want to be the kind of person who says they can meditate for 8 hours, or is it the kind of person that you'd become in doing that. And I think that that's so important because there's a lot of people who we work with who just want to lose weight. They want to be, or maybe not necessarily the people that we work with. There are a lot of people out there who want to be exactly the same as they are right now, but 1, 2, 3 stone lighter. And that's not going to work because the person that you are now is 1, 2, 3 stone lighter than where you want to be. And so in order for you to get to that goal, that person's going to have to change. And so the people that do the best are the ones who are willing and open and want to change as a person. Because then if you want to be someone who eats healthier, if you want to be someone who's more active, you want to be somebody who's fitter and stronger, then you will get the results at the end of it. And you'll be happy doing it as well. And I know that one of the goals that I set was, I think it was to, the run that I do to do 36 laps. And it's like, the goal isn't for me to win. The goal is for me to become the kind of person that can do that, which is somebody who can apply themselves consistently, who can look for their weak links and do better, somebody who can push themselves or someone who can achieve something they weren't able to achieve before. And that's why I think that I've had good success with that, because the person that I want to be, is so key to that. And I think that very often people want the result without the process, and it's just not going to work because it's obvious the result comes from the process. And so you have to look at this as a journey and a change of who you are. It's a bit like being successful. I want to sustain to be really successful. But if someone gave me a certain amount of money, 1 million quid, then that would mean nothing compared to if I can get sustain where I want it to, because of the development that we've got to do as people, as business owners, as coaches, as managers, in order to get to that place. And that's what I really want. It's not so much about the money. I think it was in the same podcast. He was talking about this guy who'd sold his company and they waited for this money to hit his bank account. His whole family were around and the money hit his bank account and everything was exactly the same. And it's like the end result isn't everything. Your life, if I could just snap my fingers and you could lose weight, yes, you might feel better, but you also might not. I've read another book a while ago by a plastic surgeon who was saying that very often some people would change when they had plastic surgery and other people wouldn't. And you need to make sure that you're on the right path, and that especially with fat loss, because there isn't that plastic surgery option at the moment. You can't take a pill or snap your fingers or whatever and get where you want to be. So the process is indispensable from what we do.
Just to touch on that bit, isn't it? When you say like to still be the same person, you mean have the same kind of actions and behaviors. Just not
Yes.
necessarily like, I just don't want people to think like what and have like kind of really low self-confidence and
Yeah, you've got to get rid of your kids and your parents and your friends. You need to move somewhere else.
if only. There's not one thing, it's your mother. Yes, and that's a big part of kind of what we do with clients, isn't it? And you'll see that on the socials, like it's an identity change. You'll get a message from people who's like, I'm on a holiday, I've just gone to the gym. This is the first time I've ever done this. And that's not because I'm bullying. I'm going, right, where's there a gym? You better book a holiday with a gym. You better take your stuff. It's like, it's because they want to do that, because they're becoming the kind of person who prioritizes exercise, prioritizes self-care, nourishes their body, looks after themselves. And that's not at the expense of their relationship with their children or their partners, which I know a lot of people love to jump on as soon as they talk about like self-care. This is people understanding their worth. And to talk on self-worth there, when you said about like, you could click your fingers. I say this a lot often when I speak to people, like, if I could wave a magic wand and tomorrow you woke up and you're at your goal, 1, 2, 3 stone lighter, what changes is I've lost what I'm saying. Joe, I'm losing my mind. What was I saying? Rewind me.
We were talking about the process. You were saying about how if people could,
Yes, I've got it. I'm back in the room.
if
Is a lot of it is that kind of the self-love piece, which again is something that we work on with clients, because I asked people in a post recently. I said, if you look back at pictures and go, I wish I looked like that now. But at that time, you were like, I really need to lose weight. I don't like how I look. Then that's not just a weight loss piece. That's a self-love piece. That's a self-worth piece as well. So they've got to work in tandem as well. And that's not saying, and again, I'll go off on a slight tangent. I'm all for body positivity, but I'm all for self-improvement as well. And for me, sometimes, you get that when people are like, you should just love the body you're in. Okay. Should you never get a new car? Should you never try and get a promotion? Should you never decorate your house? Should you never add an extension? There's nothing wrong with going, yes, I love the fact that my body's functional and I can do this and do that, but I'm not living up to my values right now. I want to do more. Like there's nothing wrong with that journey of self-improvement.
There's something in there as well about you're enough as you are right now, but you're also capable of more going forward. And I think they are two things that often people have opposite to each other. Well, if I'm enough as I am today, then I'll be enough as I am in 10 years' time. And if that's what you want, that's absolutely fine. But it's also fine to want to strive for more. And I think sometimes people use that as a way to protect themselves, often because their self-worth is low. So whilst they believe on a rational level that they're enough right now, emotionally, they don't feel like it. And so to admit that is then difficult. Again, it's that willingness to look at where you're at. Like I have no, I it's something I've never really struggled with. And it's probably why I found, when I went to therapy when I was 21, and most men never go, or most men really struggle to go, because don't know, I did find it difficult, but it was just something that, yeah, I guess came easier to me, that I didn't mind saying. I don't mind saying to you, I haven't done that stuff on YouTube, or I've missed the doing these tasks for sustain, because maybe I've got a stronger foundation of self-worth than a lot of people have, that I know those tasks aren't me. So it doesn't matter that I've not been able to do those YouTube videos, because it doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, it's a bit embarrassing, but it's not a foundation of who I am. And a lot of people have that when they say, well, I didn't do that thing. That means that I'm useless. That means I'm a bad person. That means that I'm not worth very much. Well, that's not true. And it's being able to see that stuff play out that means you can then be more comfortable to say, I'm enough as I am, and I'm capable of doing better.
But that piece for me as well, from kind of what you said there, that's ownership, which again is a huge part of what we ask of clients is, and it kind of brings us back to the podcast nicely. I almost forgot what we're talking about, is that ownership. No, I've not done those things. Cool. Okay, now we can look at why we've not done them. Like, are they not important to or to the, obviously, the business, but if we look at it normally, like, if you're like, all right, I want to do X, Y, and Z, okay, was it not important to you? Did you not make it a priority? Was it unrealistic? There's going to be some reason why you've not done it. And that can adjust, or you can adjust that moving forward, whether it's like, no, it's just not important to me, scrap it. Or yes, I didn't make it a priority. This is how I'm going to make it a priority. No, it was unrealistic for me to go, I'm going to do couch to 5K in a month or whatever. So I'm going to back off. There's going to be some reason that does come back to reflection and that does come back to ownership. Yes, no, I didn't do it. That was very complicated. Confusing sentence, yes,
Yes,
no.
no, I did not do it.
No, I didn't do it. Okay, let me look at why I didn't do it because I can learn something from that. Which again, I think is just a huge, and it is uncomfortable because it makes you vulnerable. Ownership is because you find yourself going like, did you do this? And you almost want to be like, no, because
Yeah.
here's the reason why I didn't do it. Here's the excuse as to why I didn't do it. And I'm not saying. And I pull up people all the time, like when they go like, oh, I know this all excuses. Like they're not excuses, they're reasons. Now, whether those reasons are valid or not is a different conversation. But it is tough. And again, this is what we look for in people, isn't it? This is one of the reasons why we screen people or our coaching program is invite only because we want people who are coachable, people who are going to take ownership, people who are going to be open to being challenged, people who want to change. And not just those people who are going to be like, oh, I didn't do it because of this, because of that. And that is something that comes up a lot. Yeah, we kind of touched on it before we started recording. We were figuring out what we're going to talk about is you'll speak to people and a year's gone by and they set this goal of, oh, I want to lose 2 stone. 2 stone's obviously a very generic goal, a very common one. And then you go like, okay, how's it been going? Like, well, I've been really ill for the last 10 days. Like, okay, but it's been a year. It's almost like, yeah, but I'm just going to focus on this tiny little bit where I've struggled because I've not been able to go to the gym for the last 7 days. Like, okay, but what else is going on? Again, it's that ownership. It's about going, okay, right, yeah, I've not done the work. And then The problem solving, the coaching aspect of it. Okay, let's figure out why we've not done that. Do we need to do something different? Do we need to have a different approach? This is all about learning. And sadly, it is that all or nothing kind of mindset that comes in like, right, it's January. I'm going to do three spin classes. I'm going to do two body pump. I'm going to eat no processed carbs. I'm going to give up alcohol. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. 10 days in, 12 days in, 14 days in, I've not done it right. Okay, cool. I'm done. I'm out. I'm bringing it back to one of your clients, I remember, who said they wanted to do 90 days. But again, it is just a mindset thing. I want to do 90 days alcohol free. And I think she got to like today 70 odd or 80 or something daft like that, you know, something huge. And then I had one drink and went, right, sod it, I'm out. Like, why don't you see how many days you can do in 90 days now? You know, instead of just going, right, well, that's it. That didn't work. Like, you set yourself an arbitrary number. Surely doing 88 days in 90 days is still a massive, massive improvement on what you were doing. But it's just the idea of like, I couldn't do it perfect, therefore I'm not going to do it whatsoever. And that's a big struggle I see with these New Year's resolutions and people, yeah, just not adjusting their approach.
And the, you know, you said to that, why don't people do that? And the answer is because it's an emotional thought that people get lost in. And so many people struggle with, you know, there's a lot of emotion around New Year's resolutions, isn't there? Because it's really meaningful. It's for a whole year. It's something that people commit to and they make a big deal about. And then to step away from that or to adjust it or to accept that it's not working takes a certain level of vulnerability, shame. You know, those different pieces that can be difficult for people, lots of negative emotions there. And so it's everything that we do is always a there's always going to be a shred of, or not even a shred, you know, what we do is founded on emotional management because the people we work with have already tried the rational stuff and that hasn't worked. You know, your sins and your points and your calories and your meal plans and your workouts and all that's all just rational. It's all just action. It's not focused on the way that you think. And so if that's not got you there before, it's not going to get you there now. So you need to do something different. And that's going to be hard. It's, you know, human beings, I think one of the things I've kind of realized recently when you look at people and they get stuck in these patterns of doing things that are the same, is because it's not going to kill them. You know, we only do things differently. We only definitely 100% of the time do things differently when it's going to kill us. And I mean, like, a car's coming towards you and you jump out of the way. Because otherwise, we have free will and people will choose these places of safety and security because change is so scary. Like, 9 out of 10 people who have a heart attack don't change their lifestyles because they've survived, you know, because that, and that wasn't enough. And it's only 10% of people who change. And so we have to. You know, we have to break through that inertia. We have to put a lot of effort into this stuff, and that's why so few people do it. Like you say, that's why it's important for us to screen people. Because if somebody just comes in like, "Right, I want to sign up, I want to work with you guys," that's great. But if you're the wrong client for us, it's going to be a hell of a struggle for everyone involved. You've got to be willing to answer those questions. You've got to be willing to talk. We're not just going to give you something and let you run with it because it's not going to work, and it doesn't. That's not what we want to do.
So I suppose it's wrapping up, Joe. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel bad about not achieving your New Year's resolutions as yet. But there's still 9 months left of the year. Like we can still make significant changes. Maybe you just set off at completely the wrong pace. You know, it is very much like I'm not going to use your running as an example because you're like Forrest Gump at the moment. But for me, if I was like, right, I'm going to run a 4-minute mile, like I am setting myself up for failure. But if I go, I'm going to try and run a mile, or
Great, wow. Yeah.
I'm going to complete a mile, whether I'm running or whether I'm walking. That's my starting point. Like, I'm sure we said this in the podcast, which obviously we should listen to. Start small, set smaller goals instead of setting that year-long goal. You know, I think we even said like set month-long goals or 3-month goals. And then there is that like ownership reviewing. Did I try as hard as I could have on these things? Was there distractions? Because life's going to ebb and flow. You know, we've had school holidays. You've got sick parents. You've got, you know, ill husbands. You've got work stresses, all these things. So don't set yourself up for a failure by going, right, I'm going to run a 4-minute mile. Like, okay, let me complete a mile first. All right, I can run a mile in 10 minutes. Okay, I think I can do that. run a mile in 10 minutes. Now, do I want to try and run a mile and a half now, or do I want to try and run a mile under 10 minutes? It's setting these achievable goals. But, if you go, right, 4-minute miles, like how many times am I going to try and run a 4-minute mile before I just go, like, I can't do this? I need to get some easy wins under my belt and gain that momentum and gain that confidence and keep on going. But also have some kind of plan in place to run that 4-minute mile. Maybe even get a coach. I'm not asking you to coach you ever run a 4-minute mile. All I'd do is I'd just set the treadmill going and I would step on the sides and then I'd take a picture of it when I'd finished and say, yeah, there
Four-minute mile, 3:59,
you go,
job done.
did it. Absolutely smashed it on a 12% incline.
But that's, and it's hard. And like often people, when I started my running, I didn't get a coach, and I didn't know why. There was something inside of me that was resistant to that, whether it is pride or ego or misplaced self-belief, whatever it may be, lack of vulnerability. It's whilst I'm tooting my own horn with having a counselor, I didn't necessarily do that with my athletic stuff, because I've got, maybe because I've got an identity in it. I'm a PT, I know this stuff, I don't need help. But then there's no, it's not like when I do the races, or when they do the Olympics, they go, well, so and so came sixth, but they didn't have a coach, so we've actually bumped them up to the silver. People often have this misplaced pride in it. Like, I get that it's nicer to do things on your own, but wouldn't you just rather get there? That's
But
a
I'd say
big problem, isn't it?
also, just to highlight that as well, imagine if you were trying to do the running and you weren't getting to where you wanted to get to, and you did that for 10, 20, or 30 years. Like, you quickly realized, okay, right, I need to speak, or this is going to be much easier. I can try and figure this out myself by doing loads of reading and loads of research and self-development and all these things. Or I can speak to my coach who's, done this path themselves, who's helped numerous other people be successful. I'm sure you didn't take your coach on with who had zero experience in coaching anyone. I'm sure he's helped many people do what you wanted to do. And so it's how quickly do you realize that? And again, sadly, you see so many people just struggling for, 1, 2, 3 decades. It's like, okay, when are we going to just go, okay, right, I need some help on this. I'm going to put my hand up and go, yes, I need some help on this.
I would like to add in that actually, ironically, I got a running coach because I was working with a coach and with my mindset, and she pointed it out to me, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm definitely, I'm missing something here. And then, yeah, that's what kind of triggered me into it. And yeah, absolutely found somebody with who had a pedigree in what I wanted to do, and it went really well. And then I've changed tack from there because I've learned from that as well. It's now working with a different coach. So it's, you're not cemented into a pathway. It's just a constant. It's like, I'm trying to think of the, autopilot on a plane, is that it keeps adjusting. It's not perfect from the moment it sets off. Is that as things move and things adjust, that it changes direction. Imagine if people look at New Year's resolutions, it'd be like, right, I'm gonna set off from this flight from London to Singapore, but I'm not gonna check where I am until, 12 months time. Like, oh my God, where am I? This is not Singapore. You have to, and the more you do those reflections, the more you make those adjustments, the smoother that journey's gonna, like, you have more pain, you have more failure, you have more things you've done wrong, but then you get there faster. That's your reward for doing it. And if you should, you get that, or you can have no pain right now, which is everything's going great, keep going, but then you might forget where you want to be, which is the really what matters, isn't it? That's the bigger shame.
Yes, just remember goals are just targets. The targets can be adjusted. I like an analogy. I said, if you go to archery, there we go. The bullseye is the target. That's the goal. That doesn't mean you're going to hit it every single time, but you hit the board and then you adjust where you're aiming from there. And then eventually you hit the bullseye, fingers crossed. But don't put it as the be all and end all. Like, this would be lovely. Again, we'll go back to the 2 stone. Like, I would love to lose 2 stone, but like you said, if I finish this year a stone and a half lighter, how is that not a win? I pulled 2 stone out of the air. It'd be lovely to lose 2 stone this year. Cool. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be possible. Doesn't mean that it has to happen. It's just what we're aiming towards. Weight loss in general, 2 stone would be great. don't forget to take ownership and reflect. That seems to be the theme of the podcast.
We don't think that at the end.
Good.
Perfect.
Ish. Right, guys, thanks for listening. We are doing our best to get more regular with the podcasts. Again, I feel like I say that, everyone. Right. Love, peace, hair grease.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did and you'd like to help support it, please share it with others. And if you didn't, please feel free to send it to someone you don't like. Until next time.